there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Hey, Warmer from Evo! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you as we get on someone who's got the name G-R-E-G in her name, Taylor McGregor. So a fellow Gregor, I guess you could call it. My official first name is Gregory, but that said, we're going to have her aboard. She does great work over at Watch Marquee, taking a look at the Chicago Cubs as her the main dugout reporter for them. She does tremendous work over at MLB Network. We're going to be talking about the Cubs. We had actually a rainout yesterday, so we were able to get pretty much on the spot because we were doing this interview right around about 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time as to what the pitching assignments are going to be for the Chicago Cubs. She's going to break that down a little bit as their game against the Miami Marlins got washed out and just talk a little bit about the NL Central in general. Taylor does a great job over there at MLB Network and Watch Marquee, so going to be great to get her on in segment number two. In the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Friday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at @GNN_D1. Keep in mind, Larsium, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did not get in any Twitter /X questions today, but we had a fun day of baseball on Thursday. It was a small slate, but a good one. Let's dive into it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
We had two overs and two unders, so a very nice split there, and we had two road teams win, and we saw two home teams win. The Tampa Bay Rays led things off by being able to take down the LA Angels, this by a count of 2-1, as Ryan Pepiote, he was able to go out there and he shoved for a very nice start. For Pepiote, he goes 6 innings, allows 1 run, punches out 7. From there, a Rays bullpen that actually entered into this game dead last in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA, they were able to get online. Garrett Clevenger, Colin Boucher, Phil Maton, they all lend a scoreless inning. Meanwhile, for the Tampa Bay Rays, they go 0-3 with men in scoring position, but they were able to find a way to do just enough against Griffin Canning, who lent a relatively solid start, 2 runs surrendered in 5 1/3 innings. Luis Garcia, 5 outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Matt Moore, a scoreless inning of his own, but other than Mike Trout stealing a pair of bags, nothing doing for the Angels with regards to their offense. The Cleveland Guardians, they take down the Boston Red Sox by a count of 5-4, and for the Cleveland Guardians, it was a very successful series for them out there in Boston. They're able to take 3 of 4, and now they've won 4 out of their last 5 overall. As for Cleveland, no home runs, but they hit 4 of 9 with men in scoring position, and Carlos Cookie Carrasco went 5 2/3 innings, allowed 2 runs, did a solid job there. You did have Cade Smith give up 2 runs in a third of an inning, but Tim Aaron, Emmanuel Class A, Hunter Gaddis, they all come in, close the door with a scoreless inning. Meanwhile, for the Boston Red Sox, Cooper Criswell and Brandon Bernardino, they were pretty much the opener and bulk guy for Griswold. Not a lot of bulk, though. 2 1/3 innings. He allows 4 runs, but only one of which was earned. Badly hurt by a pair of errors that completely went against him. Bernardino, 2 scoreless innings as the opener, and then it was pretty much a full-on bulk game as Chris Martin lent a scoreless inning. You added 2 scoreless innings. Justin Slayton, who's really been impressing me, and Joe Jaquez. He comes in for 1 2/3 innings, allows a run along the way, so the Red Sox, they were drowned by errors, and that costed them in this one. And our DK Network write-up pick wasn't necessarily the best read on Jack Leiter, as he gave up quite a few runs, but the Rangers had his back. 9-7 the final, so we were able to be winners with Leiter. Well, he got lit up in this one. 7 runs surrendered in 3 2/3 innings, but how about the Rangers bullpen? Jose Leclerc's scoreless inning. Jose Ureña, he does not Ureña over the game. 3 scoreless innings, and then Kirby Yates gets the final 4 outs of the game to be able to get the save. Meanwhile, for the Rangers, trio of home runs. Jonah Heim, Marcus Semien both get their 3rd home run of the campaign off of Kenta Maeda. And Kenta Maeda gives one up to Adolis Garcia for his 5th. For Maeda, it's been a miserable start to the season for him. 6 runs, 5 of which were earned in 2 2/3 innings, including those 3 bombs. From there, the bullpen was fine. Alex Fajardo, 2 1/3 innings. He gives up a unearned run as he had 3 errors out there in the field for the Detroit Tigers that costed them. Shelby Miller, he gave up an unearned run in his inning as well. Tyler Holton, Alex Lang, they combined for 2 scoreless, and Andrew Chafin does allow a run in his inning of work, but for the Tigers, Kenta Maeda really did put them behind the 8-ball, and for the Arizona and the Diamondbacks, they were put behind the 8-ball, having to try to go up against Logan Webb, 5-0. The Giants are able to get it done, as for Ryan Nelson, he had to leave this game after 2 innings with an injury, did not give up any runs in those 2 innings, and in an impromptu bulk spot, Logan Allen, who's been a guy that has been a little bit all over the place, not bad. 1 run surrendered in 4 2/3 innings. He did have Ben Jarvis from there give up 3 runs in 2/3 of an inning, hurt by a Ketel Marte fielding error, so only one of those was earned, and then Kyle Nelson gives up a run in 2/3 of an inning as well, but for the Arizona Diamondbacks, absolutely nothing doing on offense. Logan Webb, 7 scoreless innings, always is a guy that you want to look at differently at home rather than away from home. And then you saw Ryan Walker come in to get the final inning of the game scoreless. Tyler Rogers, he was able to give you a scoreless inning as well. So the Giants find a way to be able to get the job done. And if you're looking trend-wise at what we're all getting in Major League Baseball thus far this season, still has been a rather overwhelming season, but things are starting to get rather evened out. 138 overs to just 137 unders. So bookmakers have figured out where to be able to place these totals, and if you're looking at the road teams, they've been still pretty hot on the money line. 149 and 134, hitting at a 52.7% clip, while favorites, they're hitting at 59.3%. We have been seeing a nice run on favorites recently. If you look at the last 7 days in Major League Baseball, favorites 60 and 35 on the money line. So that's what we're seeing right now, and that's what we all got on Thursday. A brief Thursday, but coming up next, how about if we talk with Taylor McGregor? She does great work covering the Chicago Cubs. She does great work over at MLB Network. We're going to be talking about the Central Division and the Chicago Cubs right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson. Now, a part of the BSIP Daily Podcast.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And it is great to have on our guest as Taylor McGregor does an absolutely tremendous job covering the Cubs. Also has a great name as well, since this show has a guy named Greg on here. Good to be able to get a McGregor aboard, as she does great work over at Watch Marquee. She does great work over at MLB Network as well. And for those that are college football fans as well, during the season, I know that she does some sideline reporting on some of those great college football games as well. And to be able to follow Taylor on Twitter/X, easy enough. Her first and last name, Taylor McGregor, with an underscore in between that first and last name. And Taylor, it's great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Thanks for the introduction. That was quite one. Happy to be on with you.
Great to have you aboard. And what else has been terrific is watching the NL Central this far this season, as the Milwaukee Brewers, the Chicago Cubs have both been off to a very hot start to the season. But I want to get your thoughts on this, because I just feel like from watching from afar, this is the most competitive 1-5 that the division has been in quite a few years, since typically we have like the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Reds, one of those teams being a real slug out there in the division. But it really doesn't feel like there's any sort of that bottom team this year in the NL Central.
Yeah, and I would say it's probably the most competitive division in the National League right now. You think about the NL East, the slow start the Marlins are having. Of course, in the West, it's the Colorado Rockies. And so from top to bottom, I mean, even at this point in the season, you can make a case that any of these teams could win in the entire division. So I think that's what makes it fun. And I can't wait for September and to see where all these teams are at.
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's going to be tremendous. Cubs are off to 11-7 starts. So they have been right towards the top of the division, though. They are going to be probably needing to play a little bit of catch up, because the game for Thursday that we were supposed to get, that got washed out, as we know, out there in the Midwest during mid-April. The conditions aren't necessarily ideal. But what do you think the overall alignment for the pitching is going to be now that we do have this rain delay, since I know that this is a little bit TBD and we're doing this just minutes after the game for Thursday was officially postponed?
Yeah, I think you'll probably see Jameson Taillon now on Friday, so just move the rotation back. We'll see what they plan to do on Sunday. The thing I know about Craig Counsell, and I've learned in this early month covering him, is he's very creative and trying to predict exactly what they're going to do pitching wise. I'm not sure if I'm knowledgeable enough to yet, because I'm sure they have something up their sleeves, because you always got to be creative when there's that doubleheader. It provides a real challenge for your pitching staff.
Absolutely. And you're talking to someone who was born and raised in Wisconsin. So I'm a Milwaukee Brewers fan, and I still haven't figured out all that Craig Counsell knows how to do as well. And I do think that that's a good jumping off topic for this as well, just because with Craig Counsell, he's clearly running the Chicago Cubs a little bit differently this year. We saw it on Wednesday where he had Jordan Wicks and Hayden Wesneski pretty much piggyback off of one another. It was a masterful way to be able to save a bullpen that had been used in multiple innings in that previous game against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And just what have you noticed with regards to the Chicago Cubs pitching staff? Because what we were supposed to be getting for Friday was the gentleman that comes over from Japan, and Shota Imanaga. He was supposed to be going on Friday, but we know that he was trying to get a little bit more rest from him, and now it looks like Imanaga might be getting a full 6 days off.
Yeah, which is always, I think, the ideal situation is to give your starting pitchers extra time off, but you just don't always get the luxury of doing so. Listen, the Cubs pitching staff was hit early on. Opening day, your ace, Justin Steele, who, you know, finished amongst the top pitchers in the National League a year ago, goes down with a hamstring strain. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, here we go. That was on top of Jameson Taillon already being on the IL. He opened the season on the IL with a low back strain. So they've had to do a little bit of shuffling early. Some of the guys that you expected to be long relievers out of the bullpen ended up having to start. And then your bullpen has been pretty taxed. They've been asked to eat a lot of innings. I know going into the game on Wednesday, they were fifth in all of baseball in innings pitched by relievers. So it has been a little bit of a struggle, if you will, early. But the good news is Jameson Taillon, it was expected to pitch today. So he is back healthy. And then hopefully in the next couple of weeks, you see Justin Steele resume and join the rotation again.
That's going to be big for them, especially with a little bit of an under the radar move as well, with Julie Merriweather being injured, who I know was good out in that Cubs bullpen last year, as well as Taylor McGregor does great work covering the Cubs. She's over at Watch Marquee and MLB Network. Joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And with regards to the Cubs as well, what I think has been really intriguing is the way that this team has been stacking runs, because I was really looking forward to that game on Thursday as the Cubs enter into the series with the Miami Marlins, generating about 7.3 runs per game when they're at home. Certainly not quite 7.3 away from home, but still been rock solid on that front as well. But what have you made out of this Cubs lineup thus far? One that has been getting all this production despite Cody Bellinger up until Wednesday really not producing a lot for the team.
Yeah, I think they're essentially picking up where they left off a year ago, fourth in the National League in runs per game a season ago. They have basically that entire lineup back. But the X factor in this year's lineup has been Michael Busch, who was brought over in a trade this offseason with the Dodgers, a lefty power bat. And that's exactly what he's provided early on, is power. We saw him homer in five straight games, tied and broke all sorts of records. So he's been a very welcomed addition. And I still expect Bellinger to, you know, resume to his ways of a year ago, but it might just take a little bit of time. So it's been nice to see the offense being able to click without him. And a large part of that has been the success of Michael Busch.
Yeah, Michael Busch has been tremendous. To your point, all those home runs that he's been able to rack up for the Dodgers, I know that they thought relatively highly of him, but I don't know if anyone saw five home runs in five games in the month of April for him. So that has been massive. And C.A. Suzuki being able to come on strong as well, that has been big for this team. And I do think that it's going to be important out there in an NL Central where I feel like the offense has been a little bit of a surprise for a lot of these teams. Like, coming into the year, I thought the Milwaukee Brewers was going to be a team that was going to hang their hat on pitching and not have a lot of offense. Entering into the week, it's fallen off, but they were actually the number one team in all of baseball in terms of runs per game entering into that series against the Padres. We've seen the Pittsburgh Pirates cool off a little bit with regards to their offense, but still, they have been a nice run-producing team. And want to get your thoughts there in an NL Central where I expected coming into the year that a lot of the division would be decided by pitching, but I feel like the offense is pretty much for all these teams except for St. Louis have been a nice surprise.
Yeah, and listen, it's early, so I try not to get too wrapped up because I still think it's, you know, what we call small sample. But to your point, Milwaukee, especially in recent years, has not been a good offensive team. They have a lot of exciting young talent, Jackson Chourio at the top of the list, who's had a nice start to the season for him and certainly contributing. Obviously, Christian Yelich had an amazing start. It's unfortunate he's been placed on the injured list with that low back issue. I think their offense will be better. Now, do I think they'll continue at the clip they've been producing? Probably not, but enjoy it while you can. And as for the Pirates, again, a lot of young talent, and there's going to be ups and downs, and they've certainly enjoyed a nice little ride at the beginning of the season, and you're seeing it neutralize just a tad, and I expect them to be better than they were a year ago offensively.
And it's going to be interesting to see if consistency is going to be there for the Cincinnati Reds as well, because I take a look at the division, and certainly the Pirates have captured the imagination of many, but I know that there was a lot of buzz involving the Cincinnati Reds coming into the season, and thus far, nothing great, nothing terrible. They're right at 500, but how do you view this Reds team? Because I think that they're the team that, other than the Pirates, because I do think that the Pirates just overall in the big leagues might be the highest ceiling, lowest floor sort of team with their youth. But I feel like the Reds are still sort of in that same boat with them just now getting back Nick Lodolo and watching L.A. De La Cruz. I feel like he's got so much potential to be one of the great stars in all of baseball, but I feel like he personally, and along with the other guys that are younger for this Reds team, just need to learn how to make the routine play because they have the ability to be able to make the special play.
Yeah, I think defense for them a year ago was a real challenge, and we've seen that continue a little bit. Look, I said about the Reds coming into this season, I thought they were one of the most talented teams in the division. I really like their starting rotation. You know, you talk about a guy like Hunter Green who has ace-like stuff. There's been ups and downs for him. Certainly the swing and miss is real. And I think he will continually progress. And I think Nick Lodolo, his health is important, as you mentioned. And there's certainly some key factors with their team when it comes to health. I like their youth. I think they have a lot of really exciting young talent. I mean, obviously Spencer Steer, his bat a year ago speaks for itself. Christian Encarnacion Strand, he has been really fun to watch. Some real pop in his bat. So I could go up and down the lineup. I think they're a team that could very much be at the top of the division at the end of the season if they can stay healthy.
Yep, I agree with you. And I just take a look at all five of these teams. It's something that we alluded to a little bit before. I do feel like all these teams have at the very least a potential of finishing 500, much like we saw in that AL East a season ago, as Taylor McGregor, who does great work over at Watch Marquee, MLB Network, and so much more, joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And Taylor, you know this as well as I do, covering the great game of baseball. 3 weeks into the season, you don't want to be making end-all, be-all, sweeping sort of comparisons. Like, right now, we've got a few teams that have been up, that have been down. The Astros being 6-14, I don't think that they're going to continue to have a win percentage of 30% for the end of the season. But is there anything that you've seen from the first 3 or so weeks of the season that has jumped out as a little bit of a surprise that you think might be able to have a little bit of staying power, whether that's in the NL Central or whether that be just all around the sport, as I know that you do a great job over at MLB Network?
Let's talk about the Kansas City Royals, shall we?
Yes.
I mean, royalty, if you will. I don't think anybody had them as a front runner in the AL Central. I know right now, again, early, but they're behind Cleveland. And I think down the stretch, maybe they are a team with their pitching staff and their young talent, and, you know, mixed in with Salvi Perez and some of the veterans who might be able to bring these young kids along. I think they might be sustainable. We'll see. You know, I'm excited to watch them a little bit more. They've definitely caught my eye. They've caught a lot of people's attention, and we'll kind of see how it all plays out.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you with the Kansas City Royals. Would like to see a little bit more consistency from some of those young bats. But Bobby Witt Jr. is real deal. You mentioned Salvador Perez and Cole Ragans, a little bit of a dark horse guy for that American League Cy Young out there in an AL Central where pitching has been very good. Looking at you, the Minnesota Twins, looking at you, the Chicago White Sox, need a little bit more from some of the bats in that division as well. So it's going to be a fun race to take a look at in terms of both the Centrals. And Taylor, I know that you do a great job just covering this great game. Your main beat is the Chicago Cubs over there at Watch Marquee, but I know that you do tremendous work over at MLB Network and so much more. So let the good people at home know what's on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I do some stuff with MLB Network, with the Cubs, with ESPN. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter if you would like, Taylor_McGregor. And I'm just so thankful for a job covering baseball and then in the fall, college football. So pretty fortunate.
Absolutely. And Taylor does a tremendous job when it comes to the football front as well. So for those of you that are football friends, be mindful of that. And Taylor does a great job day in and day out looking at this great game that we all know and love. It was great to be able to get her insight today. So big thanks to Taylor for joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Coming up next, full slate of baseball with every team in action on this Friday. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Friday as we touch them all.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. It was great to be able to get a fellow McGregor aboard, Taylor McGregor. I say that because my name is Greg Peterson. She does an absolutely tremendous job over there at MLB Network, does a great job over at Watch Marquee following the Chicago Cubs. It was nice to be able to get her insight. She does a great job following this great game that we all know and love, and certainly it's going to be a fun race out there in the NL Central. So big thanks to Taylor for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Friday as we Touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter /X feed at @unit_D1. We are going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go with the National League games first, then the American League games, and any interleague games. These are going to be at the bottom. That'll keep things all nice, neat, clean, and easy. So, without further ado, let's dive in on this first game of 901-902 on the betting board. It is the Miami Marlins. They have their road. They're facing off against the Chicago Cubs. This is the pitching matchup we were supposed to get on Thursday, as A.J. Puck is on the bump for the Miami Marlins and Jameson Taillon is on the bump for the Cubs. Right now, the Cubs are a minus 165 or so favorite, between plus 140 and plus 150, that number on Miami. Right now, we're seeing a total of 10.5 at Circa, with the under at minus 118, the over at minus 102. When this was pulled off the board, you had a relatively similar money line. That total was 7.5, and you might be wondering why the change in total. Well, that's because of the wind situation. It was supposed to be blowing in quite a bit on Thursday. Now, when it comes to Friday, not necessarily blowing super out, but it's blowing quite directionally, so that is going to be affecting things. But because it's not blowing like straight out, I did set my total at a 9.4. So if we do indeed get a 10.5 or so like we're seeing right now, I'm going to be looking at the under. But with the Cubs willing to lay about minus 105 on this run line, really nobody has a run line up because most books don't have a total up. If you don't have a total up, you don't have a run line posted. But that's that for AJ Puck. Just pretty much what I said yesterday. He gives up 14 walks in 12 and two-thirds innings, and I have no idea how you're supposed to back this guy at this point. He's got a 5.92 ERA, a fielding independent that's a full point higher. He has not been good, to say the least. And for Jameson Taillon, he only went about 6 1/3 innings in his two rehab appearances, so I'm very questionable as to what you're going to be able to get out of him. And for Jameson Taillon, he doesn't necessarily give up a lot of walks. Last year, was only giving up about 2.5 walks per 9 innings. He got about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings. Not great, not terrible. He's going to be backed up by a bullpen that is going to be well rested. So if you need someone like a Keegan Thompson to be able to hold down the fort for a few innings, they just picked up Colton Brewer. These guys should be able to do so. Meanwhile, for the Miami Marlins, this bullpen is right now the worst in the National League in terms of ERA. Brian Hoying has legitimately been your best reliever thus far this season. The guys like Sixto Sanchez, Birch Smith, Andrew Nardi, they're all doing a pretty awful job right now. Anthony Bender, Oscar Brazoben were halfway decent last season, but we have not seen Brazoben at all thus far this season. He's been dealing with injuries, so you've got a lot of issues on that front. And for the Miami Marlins, Jake Berger, their top home run hitter, he has been out of the fold the last few games. That's not great. Luis Arias, along with Tim Anderson, both hitting right around about a 265 to a 275. Brian De La Cruz, he's been able to give you a trio of home runs. He's hitting about a 290 as well, but this has been one of the most struggling lineups out there in the big leagues. Now, if you look at the Baseball Savant numbers, they're doing for a little bit of positivity, it seems, but I don't know if they're going to be able to get it here. Meanwhile, the person that Taylor McGregor was referring to, Michael Busch, 6 home runs thus far this season. He's done a really nice job of moving the line, as he, C.A. Suzuki, Garrett Cooper, all hitting above a 300 for this bunch. They haven't necessarily hit for the world's greatest average. You do have guys like Christopher Morel, Dansby Swanson, Ian Happ, Cody Bellinger, all hitting below a 250, but they have found a way to be able to move the line. This team is averaging north of 7 runs per game at home. I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a strange win situation, and I just don't know if the Marlins are going to be able to do their part. This has been an offense that has been awful all around, so seeing the 10.5 that we're seeing right now, I do like the under. And with the Cubs, I'd be willing to lay up to a minus 105 with this run line. Right now, initial look at Circa is a big plus number, so we'll be looking at that Cubs run line to go along with this total under. 903-904 on the betting board. The Milwaukee Brewers at the road. They're facing off against the St. Louis Cardinals, as Freddy Peralta is going to be going for the crew, and you've got old Kyle Gibson on the bump for St. Louis. St. Louis is an underdog, anywhere between plus 110 to plus 117. Between minus 124 to minus 130 is that number on the crew. 7.5 to 8 is the total on the 8. Unders between minus 115 to a minus 125. Overs between minus 105 to a plus 105 on the 7.5. Overs minus 120, and the under is even. I'm only going up to a minus 131 with the Brewers. I'm going to be diving in on them. Freddy Peralta has been awesome to begin the season. He's getting north of 12 strikeouts per 9 innings. Has had a little bit of a history to struggle in the first month or so of the season, but that's not happening here. Has given up 2 home runs in 17 and 2/3 innings. Has really cut down on the walks as well. Just 2 walks in his first 3 starts. Team has been able to get the win in all 3 of his starts thus far, so love to see that. And 7+ strikeouts in all 3 of those starts as well. Going up against Kyle Gibson, who a season ago, he was a little bit unlucky. He had a ERA that was hovering right around about 4.73, but fielding a pen, that was a half point lower. Thus far this season, he has posted up a 6.16 ERA, and his fielding independent is actually a half a point higher. He has just been getting banged around. 5 home runs surrendered in 19 innings. How he's completed 19 innings while giving up 13 runs, I have absolutely no idea, but he's not getting a lot of swings and misses. His walks are typically where they are. 6 walks in 19 innings. Nothing great, nothing terrible, but has to go up against a Brewers lineup that they're dealing with some injury. Having Christian Yelich out of the fold, that does hurt them, but the young guys have really stepped up for the team. You've got Sal Frelick, along with Bryce Terang, Blake Perkins, all hitting above a 300. Now, do I expect some regression? Absolutely. And William Contreras sitting 4 home runs with a 443 on base is something that'll come back to earth. But William Adames, after he had a pretty miserable year last year, 400 on base, 3 home runs, this has been a very pleasant surprise for Milwaukee. And for St. Louis, this has been one of the worst offenses in all of baseball. They are in the bottom 3 in the National League in terms of run creation. You've got Nolan Gorman, who's been able to give you 3 home runs, but Gorman, Paul Goldschmidt, Jordan Walker, you're able to throw in there some of these guys like Sanee out there in the outfield. You've had Victor Scott, all these guys hit below the Mendoza line of 200. You just don't have guys that are moving the line in general. Mason Wynn has actually been really good this year after he was terrible when they called him up a season ago. 347 is what he's hitting right now. You've had Wilson Contreras, who's been a little bit in and out of the fold. He's been pretty rock solid at being able to find a way on base as well, and you can always count on Brendan Donovan getting on base at home. But for the Cardinals, bullpen hasn't been bad this far. Last season, it was a very brutal bullpen. Ryan Helsley was the lone guy returning from a season ago that had a sub-3.5 ERA. They pick up Andrew Kittredge in the offseason, and these guys like Jojo Romero, Ryan Fernandez, they haven't been bad, but doesn't quite compare to the bullpen of the Brewers, which, if you look at the raw stats, they're slightly above average, but these guys like Elvis Piguero, Hobie Milner, Joe Piams, all had a sub-3 ERA a season ago. Ebner Uribe has some of the best wipeout stuff that you're going to find in the league, and they're currently dealing with the injury to Devin Williams, but still been pretty impressive. I do think that the Brewers are going to be able to jump aboard Kyle Gibson, and we are starting to see that regression with the Brewers lineup. This is a squad that has outscored 4 runs or fewer in each of their last 4 games, but I think that they are able to pick it up a little bit more in this game. I do think that the Cardinals, who have been held to 3 runs or fewer in each of their last 5 games, they're going to be able to find a little bit of positivity as well. So I do think that Freddie Peralta might get into a little bit of issue with regards to walks. So I'm going to be looking at the over, so by total more around an 8.3, and going to be looking at the Brewers on the money line, willing to lay up to a -131. 905-906 on the betting board. The New York Mets hit the road. They're facing off against the LA Dodgers. Yoshinobu Yamamoto is on the bump for the Dodgers, and Sean Manet is on the bump for the Metropolitans. And the Mets do find themselves as underdogs, anywhere between +164 and seeing size of +179. Meanwhile, anywhere between -192 to -205. That number on Los Angeles. Total on this game is 8.5. Under is -120, and the over is even. If you're looking to lay a run and a half with the Dodgers, mostly find that at a +105 to even money. I'd be willing to lay up to about a -108 with this Dodgers run line, so that's where I'm looking. I would need at least a +187 to consider the Mets on the money line for the LA Dodgers. All but 35 of their regular season wins since the beginning of the 2022 season have come by multiple runs, and if you look at that amount of wins, that would be 223 wins in total. So they've been able to do a very good job winning by multiple runs with Yamamoto. He had a really rough debut when he went up against the San Diego Padres out there in Seoul, South Korea. Ever since then, 15 innings pitched, he has given up 3 runs. Just feels like the Padres might be that little bit of a bugaboo team for him, but he's been able to do a nice job getting strikeouts, 21 punchouts in 16 innings. Command has been there. I like what I'm seeing there. And for Sean Manea, he towards back half of last season was very good. After, I would say, the month of June, he posted up a sub-3.5 ERA after having a miserable start to the season with the San Francisco Giants. And here in 3 starts with the Mets, had one just terrible performance against the Kansas City Royals. Gives up 8 runs in 3 2/3 innings, 6 of which were earned. But all in all, I do think that he's been able to turn it around. I don't know if it's peak Sean Manea, but he's been able to do a pretty rock-solid job. And Isaiah pitched quite well on the road. He's backed up by a Mets lineup that has been up, down, and all around recently. They go from scoring 2 runs one day to scoring 7-plus the next. You just don't get anything in between with this team. You've got Pete Alonso, who's right now supplying 6 home runs, and year in, year out, he's towards the top of the big leagues with regards to home runs generated on the road. He, Brett Batty, who's been dealing with a little bit of an injury, both giving you north of a 350 on base, and the big key for the Mets are just getting these struggling bats online, like Jeff McNeil, DJ Stewart, Francisco Lindor, these guys hitting at 220 or lower. If they can find a way to be able to move the line, get on base, that'd be absolutely massive. And for the LA Dodgers, it is a little bit of a top-heavy team, as well as you've had Mookie Betts, Teoscar Hernandez be tremendous at being able to supply power. These two guys have been able to combine for 11 home runs thus far this season, with Betts 470 on base. Shohei Ohtani's hitting 360 with 4 home runs. Max Muncy has 4 home runs with a 340 on base. These guys have been great, and Will Smith is hitting darn near a 350, but Gavin Lux, Kike Hernandez, James Outman, Chris Taylor, all hitting below a 200, and Taylor's hitting a 029. Like, that's really hard to do, but I do think that they're going to pick it up, and even with the Dodgers having some struggles towards the bottom of the fold, this is still one of the top teams in all baseball in terms of just drawing walks on a per at-bat basis. It's a Dodgers bullpen that is currently 19th in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. That's been a little bit of an issue, as you do have a nice shutdown closer in Evan Phillips, but getting there has been a little bit of an adventure. Ryan Brasher hasn't been what he has been in past years. Joe Kelly is a guy that you really don't trust in as well, but I like Danny Hudson. And for the Mets, gotta love the fact that they've got Edwin Diaz back in the fold, but who's going to be able to get the ball to Edwin Diaz? Jorge Lopez, Reed Garrett, these guys are a little bit of a roll of the dice. I like Brooks Raley and what he's able to provide, but that said, I do think that the Dodgers are going to be able to jump aboard Sean Manea, get to this bullpen. I do think that the top of the Dodgers lineup just continues to power them to victory. I do like the run line here of the Dodgers, willing to lay up to a -108, and did somebody tell it an 8.8, so here at the 8.5, I also like the over. 907-908 on the betting board. The Arizona Diamondbacks are on the road facing off against the San Francisco Giants, as Blake Snell is on the bump for the Giants, and Jordan Montgomery makes his debut for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are anywhere between +110 to +117 underdogs. Meanwhile, between -125 to -130, that number on San Francisco. It is a total over and under, anywhere between -105 to -115. I set Montgomery at a +136. I'm going to be willing to lay it with the San Francisco Giants. Now, Blake Snell has been in absolutely terrible form in his first 2 starts of the season, but who's to say that Jordan Montgomery is not going to be doing the same darn thing? Both of these guys were in a relatively similar boat. Both of these guys had really good 2023s. Both were guys that were unsigned throughout much of free agency and got picked up very, very late. And for Jordan Montgomery, he just hasn't been able to get a lot of work in general. And you have to fear that he's just not going to be in sorts. He was able to make 2 appearances at the minor league level for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, granted, it was in the juice ball PCL, but it was given up right around about 6 walks per 9 innings and 7 2/3 innings. Gave up 5 walks. He got tattooed for a few home runs. Did not look good, to say the least. And for Blake Snell, I do think that he's going to start to find it a little bit more. As for Blake Snell, first 2 starts of the season, gave up 4 walks in 7 innings, gave up a pair of home runs, but now he gets a pitch in San Francisco. Got to feel like in San Francisco, he's going to be a little bit more informed. Did give up 3 runs in that first start at home against the Washington Nationals, but I do think that this is going to be a case where now he's a little bit more lathered up. Now he's a little bit more ready to go, and you can tell that he was just a little bit out of form in general to begin the season due to the fact that he had the contract dispute, and he's backed up by a Giants lineup that has been able to provide some power. You've got a quartet of guys, Theriot Estrada, Michael Conforto, Jorge Soler, Matt Chapman, that have all been able to give you at least 3 home runs, but you don't really have a lot of guys other than Lamont Wade Jr. that are doing a good job consistently moving the line. He's hitting a 370 for this team. He has been absolutely tremendous, but you've got a lot of guys like Estrada, like Chapman. You're able to throw in there Mike Yastrzemski, hitting for less than a 275 in terms of their on-base percentage, so Giants have had a little bit of a tough time with their run creation, and they are out there in that very, very pitcher-friendly ballpark. Meanwhile, for the Arizona Diamondbacks, they entered into yesterday a top-8 team in the big leagues with regards to runs per game. They get completely blanked yesterday, and this has been a team that has been a little bit inconsistent with their offense when they've been away from home. And you do have a trio of guys, Eugenio Suarez, Gabriel Moreno, Juan Corbin Carroll, that are all hitting below a 230. And you just expected a little bit more out of Carroll this season. He's only been able to supply 1 home run, though. Lourdes Gurriel, Ketel Marte, I combined 10 home runs between these two guys. They have been absolutely tremendous at the top of the fold. I do think that Randall Grichuk is going to be a nice situational hitter. Jock Peterson has been able to provide quite a bit as well, but with the Diamondbacks. You never know what you're going to be able to get out of this bullpen. Right now, it's pretty league average, and I think that that's what you're going to be able to get moving forward. They no longer have Luis Frias in the fold. They pick up Logan Allen, so we'll see what happens there. Maybe they will have Miguel Castro give them innings. Not necessarily great innings, but innings. I like the young guy in Justin Martinez. You've also been able to have Kyle Nelson do a nice job holding down the fort, but he was used up yesterday. Meanwhile, for the Giants, it's been Rogers Square. Taylor and Tyler Rogers, these guys do a relatively solid job of holding down the fort. Eric Miller has been, though, a guy that's been posting up about a 6 ERA. Brian Walker, someone that I've always been relatively bullish on, has been the greatest year for him as the Giants well below the league average in terms of their bullpen ERA. So it's a very interesting circumstance to be in. This is a spot where I did set my total at 7.8. I do think that Jordan Montgomery probably is going to pitch a relatively solid outing. I just don't think that he lends a lot of length in general. I think that this is actually a very ideal spot for Jordan Montgomery, but I just don't think that the length is going to be there. So this is a spot where I'm going to be looking at the under. I do think that Blake Snell is going to be able to get online. I think that this is a start where he starts to be the Blake Snell of old. So willing to back the Giants on the money line to go along the under. 9-9-9-10 on the betting board. It is the Tampa Bay Rays on the road facing off against the New York Yankees. Clark Schmidt goes for the Yankees for the Tampa Bay Rays. Right now, the betting board says to be determined, but we are figuring that it's going to be Tyler Alexander and or an opener for Tyler Alexander. And right now, if you're looking at an initial opener, anywhere between minus 138 to minus 150 is that number on the Yankees. Rays are between plus 130 and plus 138. Total is a 9 in a lot of spots, with the under between minus 115 to minus 120. The over is between even and minus 105. And anything of a 9 or less, I'd be willing to take a look at the over. I saw a straight 8.5 out there, but that juice was minus 130 on the over. And I would not want to lay a minus 130 juice on the over. But that said, with the Tampa Bay Rays, they have been out of sorts in terms of their bullpen. As a matter of fact, they are currently dead last in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA, which is why I'm going to be willing to back the Yankees. Set them as a favorite of minus 155. If you're looking to lay a run and a half, you're going to be able to get that right around plus 135. I will be looking at that run line for Alexander. He's made a few starts slash bulk appearances thus far this season and hasn't been great. 5 home runs given up in 15 and a third innings. Has never been a strikeout artist. He does a solid job of not giving up a lot of walks, but now he does have to go up against a New York Yankees lineup that it's not fully back to where it was a few seasons ago, but you've got a pair of guys in Anthony Volpe along with Juan Soto. They're providing north of a 400 on base, north of a 320 batting average, and you've been able to get some good production on the ancillary pieces as well. Giancarlo Stanton, he's hitting a 250 with 5 home runs. You'll gladly take that as Waldo Cabrera. Trio bombs, hitting above 300. That's cooled down since the start of the season, but all in all, you like to see that. And for Aaron Judge, you know that he's going to start to hit relatively soon. Been able to provide just a .83 average with 3 home runs, but I do think that that's going to turn around sooner rather than later. And its historic 2022 season got off to a slow start as well. Meanwhile, for the Tampa Bay Rays, you just are expecting more out of Yandy Diaz along with Randy Arozarena. Both of these guys providing a sub-280 on base, a sub-225 batting average with 3 home runs between the two of them. Isaac Paredes has been tremendous. 5 home runs, .365 on base. And you got guys like Jose Calabreo, Ahmed Rosario, Richie Palacios hitting above a .270. So you do have a few guys who are still moving the line for the Tampa Bay Rays, but at bullpen, you've got to expect it to be getting better moving forward. These guys like Pete Fairbanks, Jason Adam, Colin Pouche that have had struggles to begin the season, they've got track records of success. Phil Maton, who comes over from the Houston Astros, does as well. And for the New York Yankees, past few seasons, this has been one of the better bullpens out there in the big leagues. They did lose a few pieces from the offseason and currently are dealing with the injury to Jonathan Loaisiga, but Ian Hamilton was very good last season along with Ron Mananacchio. Clay Holmes can always be a little bit shaky in the back half of games, so typically gets the job done. I like the pickup of Caleb Ferguson, so I do think that this is a good spot for the Yankees to be in, especially with Clark Schmidt and the way that he's just so steady. He just goes out there and he does his job. In the last 30 starts that he has had in the regular season, he has given up 3 runs or fewer in all but 3 of them. In terms of earned runs, he's been the victim of a few unearned runs, but he's not going to necessarily blow you away with his stuff. Thus far this season, a little bit north of 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. For his career, more around 8.5 strikeouts, so about 3 walks per 9 innings. He's a pretty average pitcher, but you know what? In this ordeal, I think that that's going to be more than enough. Did set my total at 9.1. I like the over. And with the Yankees, being able to get a plus 135 on that run line, we'll lay the run and a half. Now you might DK Network to write a pick. 9-11, 9-12 on the betting board. The Cleveland Guardians play the Oakland A's. Joe Boyle, Oh Boyle Rules, is on the bump for the A's. Tristan McKenzie is on the bump for Cleveland. Cleveland is a favorite between minus 168 to minus 175, plus 145 to plus 157 is that number. On Oakland, 8 is the total. Over is minus 115 to minus 120. The under is between even to minus 105. My right up here is going to be on the under. Semi-total at a 7.9, so wouldn't want to go any further down than 8. And truth be told, when I wrote this up, I was writing it up with the opener being an 8.5. So this has already been bet down. But that said, as long as we can get an 8 or better, my right up will be on the under because got a Oakland A's team that has been pretty amazing in terms of their pitching and pretty amazingly bad in terms of the offense, as they actually entered 7-4 in their last 11 games, by the way. But our good friend Mr. Boyle is going to be making his 7th career start, and he's done a really good job in this small sample size. 3.45 ERA, 3.06 fielding independent with 9.5 strikeouts and 0.3 home runs allowed per 9 innings. Now, the one thing that could be a little bit costly, you have to be questioning the length that he's going to be able to deliver a little bit because he has been giving up north of 4 walks per 9 innings and has really never been able to give you a whole heck of a lot of length in general. In his starts, he has went past the 5th inning just twice in the 6th, but that said, I do think that him being backed up by a bullpen that's 3rd in the big leagues in terms of ERA is going to be very beneficial. The Oakland A's are made up of a lot of veteran guys or sort of cast-offs that are very much fighting to be able to stay in the league, and they've been showing it as you've had Austin Adams along with Michael Kelly be able to supply a sub-3 ERA. Mason Miller, I still believe, should be a starter, but he has been incredible in the closer's role. 17 strikeouts and 9 innings thus far. Lucas Hirschedge has been able to do a nice job as he was a failure with the Brewers as a position player, but has resurfaced as a pitcher. Meanwhile, for Tristan McKenzie, rough start to the season for him. He has given up now a grand total of 9 earned runs, 11 in total in 13 innings, giving up 12 walks in his first 13 innings as well. And for Tristan McKenzie, the walks have always been a little bit up and down. He needs to try to get back to that 2022 form where he was so good with a 2.96 ERA, 8.9 strikeouts, and 2.1 walks per 9 innings, as he was pretty much injured all of last season. But I do think that he's going to regain his form against an Oakland A's team. Then again, they're providing 2.95 runs per game. That is the second fewest in all baseball. You just don't have guys in general that are finding a way on base. Seri Ruiz, he's back up at the big league level after I have no idea why he was demoted to the minors, but he was demoted to the minors. You've been able to have Tyler Nevin be able to give you a little bit of production as well, but some of these guys like Brent Rooker, J.J. Blade, J.D. Davis, Shane Langeliers, well, you've got a little bit of power out of a guy like Langeliers. Now, all these guys are hitting a 205 or lower, and Langeliers is the only guy on the roster that's giving you multiple home runs. Meanwhile, for Cleveland, they were dead last in the big leagues last year. In terms of home run power, they've been much better this year. They're averaging about a home run per game. Still not great, but improved. Josh Naylor has been able to supply 4 home runs. He, Stephen Kwan, are both giving you north of a 320 batting average, but you've got some guys towards the more bottom of the fold, like Bo Naylor, Will Brannon, you're able to throw in there as well. Someone like a Tyler Freeman. These guys have been able to hit a 225 or lower. That's been a little bit rough for this team. The Guardians still having a little bit of a tough time moving the line. The top of the lineup has been good at being able to get on. They can't be driven in by the bottom, but they are still second in the big leagues with regards to their bullpen ERA. You've got so many guys like Cade Smith, Hunter Gaddis, Tim Aaron, Emmanuel Clase, the closer. These guys give me a sub-3.3 ERA. They've been still locked down. I know that the Guardians did have to use quite a bit of their bullpen yesterday, but still relatively locked and loaded. I do think that Tristan McKenzie is going to be able to find it here against the Oakland A's, and I think that both of these offenses have a rough time of it. My right up here is going to be on the under, and I did set the Guardians as a sizable favorite. I'm going to be willing to take them on the run line. You are getting about a plus 120 there. Wouldn't want to take anything less than a plus 120, but with the Oakland A's, I do think that their lack of offense is going to be the crux of their issues in this one. So I do like the Guardians on the run line, and my right up pick that is going to be on the under. 9-13, 9-14 on the betting board. The Baltimore Orioles are on the road. They're facing off against the Kansas City Royals. Alec Marsh is going to be on the bump for the Royals, and Dean Kramer is on the bump for the Orioles. The Orioles do find themselves as favorites. You're going to be getting them anywhere between a minus 135 to a minus 142, plus 120 to plus 125. That number on Kansas City, 9 to 9.5 is it all on the 9.5. Under is minus 120, the over is even on the 9. The over is minus 120, and the under is even. I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the Royals. Needed at least a plus 119 to be able to do so. Alec Marsh, when he got called up to the big leagues last season, you could tell that he just was not ready for prime time, but he has looked really good here in 2024. He has provided 3 starts thus far. The swing and miss stuff is down. When he came up the first time around, he was getting a lot of swings and misses, but he was missing location so much that it wasn't even funny. How about just 3 walks and 1 home run allowed in 16 and 2/3 innings? So he's really been able to clean that up. 4.32 ERA, fielding independent, that's even lower than that. Meanwhile, for Mr. Dean Kramer, he has been giving up a lot of contact in general. His whip is north of a 1.2, so you do have your issues there. He's given up 4 home runs at 16 and a third inning, so you have to have some trepidations on that front as Kansas City is a ballpark where you're able to take it deep relatively easily, and you've got Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt Jr., who have combined for 9 home runs thus far this season, both of these guys hitting well above a 300. Meanwhile, Vinny Pascantino, after a little bit of a rough start to the season, he's been able to supply 3 bombs. He's giving you about a 360 on base, and when it comes to the middle part of the lineup, you do have a few guys that they do need to pick it up in terms of finding way on base. Mikel Garcia, he's got 3 home runs, just a 213 on base. Kyle Isabel, Hunter Renfroe, Adam Frazier, guys like this, they do need to find a way on, but the top of the lineup has been tremendous. Now for the Kansas City Royals, you do have to have your trepidations in terms of this bullpen. Nick Anderson, Chris Trenton, Will Smith, these guys getting jiggy with it is not necessarily a place where you want to be. Adel Zarepa has actually been halfway decent in the bullpen, and overall for the Royals, they're actually 12th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. And for the Baltimore Orioles, this has been a bullpen that has still been very good even without Felix Bautista. They're 10th of the league in terms of bullpen ERA. Craig Kimbrell has looked awesome thus far. Now, I will say it's a small sample size, and right when you trust Craig Kimbrell is right when he nips you in the butt, but that's not so far so good on that front. You've got a lot of guys that have been able to come in and have just done their job. Keegan Aiken, Dylan Tate, you have been able to get good innings out of Yennier Cano. All these guys, a sub-2 ERA. And for the Baltimore Orioles, this is a lineup that is just as hot as lava. Gunnar Henderson has been able to supply 6 home runs, and then Colton Cowser, Anthony Santander, Cedric Mullins, Jordan Westberg, Ryan O'Hearn, all between 4 and 5 home runs apiece. How about 30 home runs in their first 18 games of the season? I do think that there's going to be a little bit of regression here, but if you're looking at just overall lineup construction, 1 through 9, this is one of the deepest teams in the league, and that's with Jackson Holliday struggling right now to start out his MLB career. You know that he's going to be able to find it a little bit more, but I do think that Alec Marsh goes out there, lends a nice start out of the organization in which he was actually with. He came up with the Baltimore Orioles, and I do think that for the Royals, they are going to be able to get to Kramer. Somebody told a 9.2, so between the 9 to 9.5. Personally, I would rather have a 9 over rather than the 9.5 under, so looking at the 9 over, and I'm going to be looking at the money line of Kansas City. 9.15, 9.16 on the betting board. The Detroit Tigers are on the road facing off against the Minnesota Twins. Joe Ryan is on the bump for the Twins. Cap to Jack Flaherty is on the bump for Detroit. Detroit is an underdog between +122 to a +134. Meanwhile, between -145 to -148 is that number on Minnesota, seeing straight 142 as well. Total is anywhere between 7.5 and 8 on the 7.5. Over is -120. The under is even on the 8. Under is -120. And the over is even. And I did set my total at 7.8. I'm going to be looking at the 8s under personally. I would rather have that rather than the 7.5 over, because the Minnesota Twins have been absolutely terrible in terms of their lineup. And I did set my line at a +134 is what I needed for the Tigers. Seeing it straight +135 out there, that's my minimum buy point on the money line. But I'm going to be willing to take a shot on Detroit. Fully recognize that the bullpen got used up quite a bit yesterday for Detroit, but it's the number one bullpen in terms of ERA in the big leagues. A sub-2 bullpen ERA, like just darn near everyone that comes out of this pen, and quite a few of these guys have been taxed quite a bit. I do need to mention that, but I mean, darn near all these guys have been very rock solid coming out of the bullpen. As a matter of fact, everyone in this bullpen right now has a sub-2.45 ERA, and I'm not even kidding when I say that. The only pitchers that have an ERA that is above a 3 are Reese Olson, Jack Flaherty, Casey Mize, Kenta Maeda, and then you have Zach McKinstry, the position player. Like, every one of these guys has been very rock solid. You don't have that one main guy, though. Jason Foley has been rock solid, but all these guys, they've been able to do a tremendous job. And for the Detroit Tigers, you're just not getting a lot of offense out of this team. They were able to bust out yesterday, but overall for the season, about 3.6 runs per contest. So I do think that there's a little bit of brightness on the way. They entered into yesterday at 213 as a collective, but been able to get a trio of home runs out of Mark Canha, Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, and I mean, that's the key. Kerry Carpenter, Matt Fierling, along with Gio Urshela, rolling above a 275. Pretty much nobody else on the roster is hitting above a 239. Riley Green has found a way to be able to move the line, and Mark Canha, even though he's hitting just a 233 right now, he's been able to find a way to be able to get on base, but has been brutal for that Detroit Tigers offense. Meanwhile, for the Minnesota Twins, they are hitting below the Mendoza line of 200 as a collective. You know that they're going to be able to improve sooner rather than later, but Alex Kirilloff along with Ryan Jeffers are both hitting above a 275, and Carlos Correa was having himself a nice season before going on the injured list, so this pretty much leaves them with two healthy players right now that are hitting above a 242. So that's not terrific. Eduardo Julian, Carlos Santana, Byron Buxton, Manuel Marco, all these guys are struggling, though Julian has been able to give you four home runs. The team has 15 bombs in 17 games in total, but the Twins also one of those teams that is towards the top of the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. Steven Oker, Cody Funderburk, Jay Jackson, these guys have all been relatively solid year. We were dealing with the injury to Yoan Duran as their main closer, so that's a little bit of a problem spot for the team. But all in all, I do like what the bullpen is able to bring to the table. But for Joe Ryan, he does give up quite a bit of hard contact throughout his career, north of 1.4 home runs per 9 innings. Has been good this far this season, 24 punchouts in 17 and a third innings. And when he is at home, his ERA for his career is about a point lower than it is away from home, so he's always very comfortable in Minnesota. But I do think that Jack Flaherty going to be able to find it in the start as well. Jack Flaherty has been all over the place last few seasons. Either gives you a really good start or he just gives you a big giant flaming turd. He's given up 3 home runs in 18 and a third innings, but his command has been good. Just 3 walks in 18 and a third innings, 20 strikeouts. His stuff appears to be there, and I do think that he's going to be backed up by a bullpen that, though taxed, is going to be able to do just enough to allow the Tigers to be able to get the job done here on a plus 135. I'm willing to take a shot on that money line. I did set my total at 7.8. I do think that both of these pitchers are going to be able to overwhelm two lineups that have been far from terrific. So I do like the under and the money line of the Detroit Tigers. 917, 918 on the betting board. It's the Boston Red Sox on the road facing off against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Brian Mayo is on the bump for the Red Sox. Right now, ESPN is showing Quinn Priester as the starter for this one. And right now, you've got a money line price of between minus 120 to a minus 123 with the Buccos. And between even money and plus 105 is that number on Boston. 8.5 is the total. Under is minus 120. And the over is even. And it's a circumstance where I'd be willing to take the Boston Red Sox, as I did set them as a slight minus 109 favorite. Brian Bello has been really good with his changeup over the last few seasons, and I just did not see what I wanted to see out of Quinn Priester last season. Quinn Priester, it just was very clear, was not ready for prime time. I believe that he could be able to have good stuff down the line, but I just don't think that he's figured it out quite yet. Watching him in spring training, he wasn't necessarily on par there, as he made like 5 total appearances. He was getting a few strikeouts, but you tell that he was missing location. He was having some weak points on that front. And for a Priester, he was getting about 7.5-8 strikeouts per 9 innings at spring training, which is a little bit better than his 6.5 punchouts per 9 innings at the big league level last season. But still has always had command issues. Last season when he was getting starts, he was giving out about 5 walks per 9 innings. And he has not had a year in the minors where he's given out fewer than 3 walks per 9 innings, all while giving up last season about 2.2 home runs per 9 innings. So it's a Boston Red Sox team that's very banged up. You've got Rafael Devers, who's been dealing with an injury. Tyler O'Neill has been in and out of the fold last few days as well, so that is very much less than terrific. And for the Boston Red Sox, it means that they're going to be relying upon Jarren Duren at the top of the fold to be able to find a way to just be able to give this team a fresh start in general. Tristan Casas has been able to give you about a 333 on base. He's been able to supply 5 home runs, but what are you going to be able to get out of some of these struggling bats that are younger, like Zadina, Rafael, Emmanuel Valdez, Waylens Abreu, Pablo Reyes? These guys are all hanging below the Mendoza line of 200. Trevor Story has been in and out of the fold as well, but Trevor Story is always in and out of the fold and just hasn't been effective in general. Meanwhile, for the Pittsburgh Pirates, you've been able to get some good production out of the young guys as far this season, though. Henry Davis, he does need to pick it up. He and Jack Swinitzky both hitting right around about .175 without a ton of power. And for the Pirates, the power numbers are not necessarily there for them as of right now. 16 home runs in 19 games, but you got Brian Reynolds along with Cabrian Hayes, both supplying north of a .365 on base. You've been able to get some relatively good results out of Connor Joe as well, who I've always liked. He was spending some time with the Colorado Rockies, began his career about a .380 on base. Michael A. Taylor got off to a really nice start to the season, but he's cooled down a little bit as well. And for O'Neill Cruz, it just feels like he's very inconsistent, has the ability to perhaps be a superstar in this league, but he does need to figure out just how to be able to get things in line in general. This is still, though, a really good bullpen for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, they're going to have Aroldis Chapman, it looks like, out due to suspension, but that said, you still have Hunter Stranton in this one, David Benar is solid, but Ryan Barucki being out, that did cause me to have to move this line by about 5 cents. With now having Chapman and Barucki out of the fold, that does lead to some bullpen issues. Colin Holderman, he's not great, he's not terrible, and for the Boston Red Sox, they've had to use up their bullpen quite a bit last few days, but they should be all good to go in this one with Chris Martin, Kenley Jansen already. Justin Slayton has been really impressing me, a sub-1 ERA. They last used him just a few days ago. I think that he might have been in for a little bit of time against the Cleveland Guardians, but all in all, he's been able to do a nice job and be able to hold down the fort. If you really need length, James Sanderson is there, but I would say probably shouldn't be weaseling on over there. But for Brian Bayo, I do think that he's going to be able to do a nice job of just being able to keep the ball in the yard. That's been his bane issue ever since getting promoted up to the big league level for his career. Has given up about 1.3 home runs per nine innings, 1.4 bombs as far as the season, giving up 4 home runs in 20 and 2/3 innings. So I do think that Bayo going to be able to go out there, give you a relatively good start, and be able to get the job done for the Boston Red Sox. I set the Red Sox as a slight favorite at a minus 109. I'd like them on the money line, and I simply don't think that Pricer is ready for prime time. Semi total at an 8.7, so went over to go along with the Boston money line. 919, 920 on the betting board. It is the Chicago White Sox. They throw the facing off against the Philadelphia Phillies. Spencer Turnbull is on the bump for the Phils. Garrett Crochet is on the bump for the White Sox. White Sox are underdogs of anywhere between plus 142 to plus 159, anywhere between minus 165. I'm seeing 160 out there, and minus 175 is that number on Philadelphia. 7.5 is the total. The over is minus 115 to minus 120. The under is anywhere between even and minus 105. Seeing straight 8 out there. That under is minus 125. The over is plus 105. I'm going to be looking at the over. I did set my total at 8.4 now. I'm not banging the over because I'm banking on a lot of runs from the Chicago White Sox. Dead last in the big leagues in runs per game, dead last in the big leagues in terms of home runs. They do get Eloy Jimenez back in the fold, but my goodness, these schlubs at the plate are just giving you absolutely nothing whatsoever. What does Nicky Lopez, Andrew Vaughn, Andrew Benintendi, Robbie Grossman, Martin Maldonado, Lennon Sosa, and Eloy Jimenez all have in common? They're all hitting a .75 or lower. Good grief. You've got a grand total of 10 home runs. Paul DeJong and Gavin Sheets have 6 between the two of them. Gavin Sheets is like the only guy on the roster other than Paul DeJong that's hitting above a .250. Like, man, it's really not good all around for this team. Meanwhile, they go up against the Philadelphia Phillies lineup that has been a little bit up and down. You've been able to have Trey Turner down for what? Hit about a .300 for this bunch. And Kyle Schwarber is up to 5 home runs. Bryce Harper has had a pretty miserable start to the season. He had that one nice 3-home run game, but right now he's got less than a .300 in terms of his on-base percentage. Alec Bohm has given you a .355 on base, but one home run, hitting a .242. Would like to see a little bit more there. Bryson Saad has been a little bit up and down, so we've had some struggling bats for the Philadelphia Phillies. And Garrett Crochet has been pretty awesome for this White Sox team. .357 ERA, but his fielding independent is less than a .250. He's got a lot of guys out there in the field that are not helping out his cause, and he's been getting a lot of strikeouts for Crochet. 31 strikeouts in 22 and 2/3 innings. I do think that there might be a little bit of regression coming from. It did feel like the Reds were able to figure him out in his last start. 5 runs surrendered in 4 and 2/3 innings, but all in all, I do think that there's a little bit of upside there. He goes up against a guy in Spencer Turnbull who's made less than 20 starts since the beginning of the 2021 campaign due to injury. Now, has resurfaced and has looked great here in 3 starts. 16 strikeouts to 5 walks. He's given up just 1 home run and 3 earned runs in total, but you do have to have a little bit of fear with this Philadelphia Phillies bullpen. It's been one of the lesser ones of the big leagues to begin the season, to say the least. Anyone with the run line of the Phillies 2 days ago against the Rockies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But Trey Dominguez, Jose Alvarado, these guys have had a little bit of a tough start to the season, to say the least. Junior Marte has honestly been really good since the back half of the 2023 campaign. Matt Strom has been relatively okay as well. And then Orion Kierkegaard, hopefully I said that correctly, he seems to be an upside guy. Meanwhile, for the White Sox, this team is right around league average in terms of bullpen ERA. I fully expect this to go straight down the toilet bowl, as everything for the Chicago White Sox has been. Jordan Leisure has actually been halfway decent for this bullpen. Tanner Banks is able to give you a little bit of length, but guys like Tim Hill, Davey Garcia, Dominic Leon, Steven Wilson, I have absolutely no faith in them whatsoever, and quite frankly, this White Sox team is looking like the biggest turd out there in all of baseball. So I did set my total at an 8.4. I think that the Phillies banging them around, I like the over, and with the Phillies, was one lay a number in terms of this run line. I set them at minus 192 on the money line. Right now, you're getting plus 120 to plus 128 on that run line. Sign me up for the run line and the over. 921, 922 on the betting board. The LA Angels hit the road face off against the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, we are on to Cincinnati, and it is going to be Tyler Anderson who goes for the Angels. Right now, the betting board says to be determined for Cincinnati, so this game is off the board. If you're looking on ESPN, Fangraphs, what have you, right now they are showing Nick Lodolo as a projected starter, and if you do get Mr. Lodolo, I did set the Reds as a minus 142 favorite with a total of 9.4. 9 or less looking at the over, 9.5 prior to the under. Lodolo got hurt very early on last season, and when he resurfaced in his first start for 2024, looked really good. gave up one hit, one walk, and 5 2/3 scoreless with 10 strikeouts. The one caveat to that is that it was against the Chicago White Sox, and I think that that needs to be prefaced every single time something good goes against the Chicago White Sox. But that said, he's been looking rock solid. And how about Tyler Anderson? He's given up 3 runs in 18 and a third innings thus far. Not getting a lot of strikeouts, pitch to contact guy, 12 punchouts in 18 and a third innings, 6 walks in these innings, so it's not like his command has been bad, it's not like it's necessarily been great, and I do think that there's going to be a fall off moving forward. Tyler Anderson was about as lucky gets in the 2022 campaign that he spent with the LA Dodgers, and if you look at the fielding independent score right now, that's more around a 429. When your fielding independent is more than 2.5 points higher than your ERA, the regression is going to come, but I do think that for the Reds, a little bit of a trepidation that you need to have with them is the fact that you've got some inconsistent bats out there. Guys like Will Benson, Aimer Candelario, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Jonathan India, hitting below a 220. That's a little bit of a concern. Elly De La Cruz, he feels like he's very hit or miss. 5 home runs, 355 on base, but he either gives you like a big giant 0 for 4 with a bunch of punch outs, or he's just absolutely awesome. He just has not found consistency. The guy that has really been consistent is Spencer Sear. North of a 4 on base, he's been able to supply this team with 3 home runs. Really like what he brings to the table. And when Nick Martini's been out there, good things have happened as well. He's hitting about a 265, 3 home runs for the Reds. This bullpen is not great. It's not terrible. I really like Alexis Diaz as a closer. And then you've got some relatively solid setup men. Buck Farmer has been able to do a solid job of being able to hold down the fort. You're probably going to need a little bit more length out of these guys than normal. But that said, you do have someone in Fernando Cruz who's been able to do a solid job. Lucas Sims, I like these guys. They're 22nd in terms of bullpen ERA, but I think that that's going to elevate. And for the LA Angels, they're right on par. They're 21st in terms of bullpen ERA. And for the LA Angels, it's a bunch of reclamation projects. Hunter Strickland, Adam Simber, Jose Cicerno, Carson Fulmer. I mean, call up AARP for these guys because they've been around baseball for a very long time, and I don't have faith in too many of them. Now, what I like is Carlos Acevedo and Matt Moore. These guys in the 8th and 9th inning are very solid, but being able to get the ball to them, that's the question. And for the LA Angels, it's about as top-heavy of a lineup as it gets. Mike Trout is amazing. 8 home runs, 350 on base. He's been tremendous. Taylor Ward is giving you a 295 average with 6 home runs as well. 14 home runs between the two of them. Rest of the team has 7. Logan Oppy is moving the line. North of a 4 on base, 333 batting average. But Brandon Drury, Nate Chenault, Aaron Hicks, Zach Neto, Mickey Moniak, all these guys hitting below the Mendoza line 200. Not so great. Miguel Sano, don't you know he's got 0 home runs as far this season? Though, to his credit, he's been able to find a way to be able to get on base. But I do take a look at the spot. I do think that the Reds should be a rightful, relatively mid-sized favorite. I'm willing to lay up to a minus 141 with the Reds, plus 143 or higher. Looking at the Angels, 9 or less. Looking at the over 9.5 or higher. The under, 923, 924 on the betting board. It is the Houston Astros. They're facing off against the Washington Nationals. Mackenzie Gore is going to be on the bump for the Nats, and Justin Verlander is on the bump for the Astros. And Astros are finding themselves as pretty good-sized favorites, anywhere between minus 157 to a minus 170, and between plus 145 to plus 151. That number on the Nationals, in half is the total, over is minus 120, and the under is even. And if you're looking at the run line of the Astros, you're going to be able to get it at right around even money. I need pretty much even money or better to be able to take a shot on the Astros run line. I set mine at a minus 102, but I'm going to be willing to nibble for Justin Verlander. Did not look sharp in his last tune-up going into this start, but I do think that he's going to be able to do a solid job of giving the Astros just a little bit of spark in general. And this guy is a gamer. He knows his own body. He last year was a tad bit lucky at an ERA that was right around about 320 in his time between the Mets and the Houston Astros. Fielding independent was more around about a 3.9. He certainly gave up a little bit more contact. His swing and miss stuff has diminished a little bit. And for Mackenzie Gore, he's about as young as it gets. 25-year-old starter who thus far this season has looked good. There's been a lot of hype around him for many, many years. 5 walks in 16 innings. 23 strikeouts. It is there, but you just never know when he's going to lose command, and that's a big issue that you do have with Mackenzie Gore. And Mackenzie Gore throughout his career has struggled with his starts in Washington as well. He's backed up by a bullpen that for the Nationals honestly has not been too bad thus far. I love Jordan Weems, what he's been able to provide. He's been able to give you a sub-2 ERA, but Tanner Rainey, since coming back from injury, has not been great. Kyle Finnegan overall isn't too bad, but it feels like he just blows games in the worst of spots. Derek Law is a solid relief piece. It's a bunch of guys that are not great, not terrible. Meanwhile, for the Houston Astros, they are missing some of these guys like a Ryan Stanek, like a Hector Neris. from a season ago, so their bullpen has been quite diminished. You've got Josh Hader along with Ryan Presley in the 8th and 9th inning, and both of these guys have struggled, but Rafael Montero has actually looked relatively solid this year. I like the game of Brian Abreu as well, and for the Houston Astros, they have not had a tough time hitting with regards to the top of the fold. The top of the lineup has been amazing. Jose Altuve is right now giving you an average right around 388 with 5 home runs. Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, both with 5 home runs apiece, both providing north of a 370 on base. Yennier Diaz, 3 home runs, hitting about a 295. Alex Bregman, not supplying a lot of power, but finding way on base, 333 on base. Jeremy Pena, hitting above a 300. Astros lineup, really, other than Jose Abreu, has been very good. Meanwhile, for the Washington Nationals, they try to add a little bit of pop after last season. They were in the bottom 5 of the big leagues with regards to home runs per game, and CJ Abrams has actually provided a lot of it. 360 on base, 5 home runs. He and Lane Thomas do a nice job swiping bags, but for a lot of the guys that returned from a season ago, like Lane Thomas, who I mentioned before, Joey Meneses, Eddie Rosario, who's a little bit of a pickup in the offseason, Keibert Ruiz, these are all guys hitting below a 210, so you do have a few issues there. It's been a case where Joey Gallo has been able to give you 3 home runs, but he's also given you a .136 batting average as well, so it's a very interesting spot for Justin Verlander. I don't think that this is the worst first start that you can have going up against a Washington Nationals lineup that, yeah, you do have some boppers in there, but at the same time, you've got a lot of guys that come up dry at the plate. I did set my total at 8.7. I do think that the Astros get to Gore, and I do think that the Nationals are going to be able to get to Verlander, but I do think that in the end, an Astros team has really scuffled out of the gates. They do get right here. I'm going to be willing to lay the even money or better with their run line, and I'm going to be taking a look at this total over 925, 926 on the betting board. The Walker Texas Rangers hit the road. They're facing off against the Atlanta Braves. Chris Sale goes for the Bravos. Andrew Heaney is on the bump for Texas. Texas is back to being a pretty sizable underdog. You're going to be getting them anywhere between plus 175, and I'm seeing as high as a plus 185 out there as well. Anywhere between minus 197 to minus 218 is that number on the Atlanta Braves. 9.5 is the total. Over is between minus 110 to a minus 120. Under is between even and minus 110. And if you're looking to lay a run half with the Atlanta Braves, you're going to be getting anywhere between minus 105 to plus 105 on laying a run half. I'm in a little bit of a tight bind. I'd be willing to take even money or better on that Braves run line, but I'm also willing to take anything north of a plus 182 with regards to this Braves money line, and we're starting to see some plus 185s pop up. Personally, between that, those two options, I'd rather take a plus 185 or greater with regards to the Texas Rangers money line, fully knowing that Andrew Heaney is not necessarily the world's most trustworthy starter. Throughout his career, he's given up about 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. This season, 7 walks in 12 innings has been far from terrific, but Chris Sale, he's been a little bit wobbly thus far this season as well. Chris Sale has still been able to get his strikeouts, 20 punchouts in 17 and 2/3 innings, but has given up 5 walks. He's been giving up a lot of contact in general, and that includes giving up a 5 spot in his last start against the Miami Marlins. Now, you know this about the Atlanta Braves. This team is going to hit. They're once again in the top of the big leagues in terms of so many of these offensive categories. Not quite home runs because the Baltimore Orioles exist, but Marcell Ozuna, 8 home runs. He's supplying north of a 350 batting average. And then you've got a bunch of guys with multiple home runs. They're moving the line. Matt Olson, Michael Harris, Austin Riley, Ozzie Albies, all these guys, multiple home runs, all these guys hitting at least a 261. And Ronald Acuna Jr. hasn't even gotten going quite yet as well with regards to power. 400 on base, but just 1 home run. Yet this Atlanta Braves team still absolutely putting up runs. Meanwhile, you've got a Texas Rangers team that busted out for 9 runs yesterday, and you know that this team is going to be hitting when it's all said and done. You've got Corey Seager, who's continued to move the line. He's continued to be able to give you a batting average that's right around 300, north of a 350 on base. Adolis Garcia, 5 bombs, hitting above a 300. He's always been able to give you power. The on-base has always been a little bit of a question mark. He's been able to bust out. Wyatt Langford, even though he hasn't been able to get his first home run, he's found a way to be able to get on-base as well. Marcus Semien, Jonah Heim, these are guys that are finding way on. Do you need some of the guys towards the bottom of the fold? Leodis, Tavares, Evan Carter, guys like this to be able to get on a little bit more. And no doubt about it, not having Josh Jung in the fold day in and day out, that really has hurt this team. But with the Rangers, I do like the fact that they revamped their bullpen a little bit during the offseason. They did have to get quite a few innings out of it, as Jack Leiter, he did not give you the start that he was you were hoping for yesterday. But that said, David Robertson, Kirby Yates getting picked up in the offseason, very big for this team, as you are probably going to be having adding Jose Leclerc out of the fold after he had a large workload yesterday. But Jacob Lyons is a guy that, in my opinion, should be able to give you multiple innings as well. Jose Ureña did a really good job of being able to save some of your more trustworthy bullpen pieces yesterday as well. And for the Atlanta Braves, this bullpen isn't great. It's not terrible. Pierce Johnson came over last season and was absolutely amazing in the bullpen. We've seen a little bit of regression out of him, but Rossy Iglesias is still one of the better closers that you're going to find in the big leagues. Atlanta overall, currently about 13th in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. I think that when it's all said and done, they'll be back in the top 10 when you're able to get a little bit more out of Tyler Matzek, who just spent a little bit off sorts this far this season. I don't see why Aaron Bummer's on the roster, but Dylan Lee, Joey Jimenez, these guys have been pretty rock solid. But I do think that with Texas getting up north of a plus 180, that's my buy point on them. I'll be willing to take a plus 185 or greater with this Rangers money line. And with regards to this total, I did sell my total at a 9.7. I do think that both of these starters give up quite a bit of contact. So I'm going to add the over and the money line of the Texas Rangers, 927, 928 on the betting board. The Seattle Mariners hit the road. They're facing off against the Colorado Rockies. Dakota Hudson is on the bump for the Rockies. Emerson Hancock is on the bump for Seattle. 11 is the total. Under is minus 120. The over is even with Seattle. You're getting them between minus 125 to a minus 130. Plus 110 to a plus 118 is that number on Colorado. I'm going to lay up to a minus 132 with the Mariners. I'm going to be looking at them on the money line. Emerson Hancock is a little bit of a pitcher contact guy, but is that any different than Dakota Hudson? Dakota Hudson last season was giving you only about 6 strikeouts of 4 walks per 9 innings. And for Dakota Hudson, the only thing that he's done well throughout his career is not give up a whole bunch of home runs. But even with that, he's been giving up more and more hard contact over the years as well. So I've got massive concerns with him. And for Emerson Hancock, in his brief time at the big league level, he has been a little bit unlucky. 6.41 ERA, which is not great. And I'm not saying that a 5.18 fielding independent is amazing or anything like that, but clearly has been the victim of balls in play that have not gone his way. He only has been able to get about 6 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's given up in his big league time. This is between last year and this year. 5 home runs in 26 and 2/3 innings, but is only giving up about 1.7 walks per 9 innings. Meanwhile, Hudson is giving out all sorts of walks, and he's backed up by a Rockies bullpen that is one of the lesser ones that you're going to find out there in the big leagues, 28th out of your 30 teams in terms of bullpen ERA, and that's where the Seattle Mariners really do come into play. They're number 6 in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. Even with having Matt Brash out of the fold, this team has been able to find a way with some of their reclamation projects, guys like Trent Thornton, Taylor Cicado, Gabe Spire. They just have a good eye for talent out there in the bullpen. They now have added Brett DeGuise. He's been able to give them some relatively solid innings as far as a little bit more of a long guy. Andres Munoz has been very good in the closer's role. And for the Colorado Rockies, Victor Vodnik has actually been quite good for this team. It's a fun name to say, and he's been able to hold down the fort, but when you do have so many of these schlubs out there like Justin Lawrence, Anthony Molina, Tyler Kinley, giving you ERAs north of 8 as of right now, that's not good. Jake Bird is not a guy that I necessarily have a lot of faith in as well. And for the Colorado Rockies, they clearly hit significantly better at home rather than away from them. This team last season had about 5.35 runs per game at home, more like 3.65 runs per game away from home. And the home and road splits, they have already commenced for the Rockies. Right now, they're hitting about a 235 as a collective when they're away from home. Just 8 home runs in 13 games when they've been on the road. Thus far at home, they've got 8 home runs in 6 games. So same amount of home runs, 7 fewer games, hitting about a 275 as a collective at home. Ezekiel Tovar, Ryan McMahon, Brenton Doyle, all hitting well above a 300 when they've been at home. Elias has given you good production when he's been out there. He's been a little bit in and out of the fold, though, so that's been a bit of an issue, but should be good to go in this one. I don't understand why they have, like, Jake Cave, Chris Bryant, this lineup with regards to the outfielders. It's been a little bit of an inconsistency with them, and Chris Bryant, they've actually moved to first base as well. He's on the 10-day injured list, which honestly probably elevates this lineup with the way that he was hitting a .149 this season, but for the Rockies, you certainly have a roll of the dice there. And for the Seattle Mariners, it's been rough goings for their offense as far this season, but 5-plus runs in 2 out of those 3 games against the Cincinnati Reds should be able to get them going. And for Seattle, for some reason, they always just get off to a little bit of a rough start in general, but they do have a quartet of guys with 3 home runs. Jorge Polanco, Cal Raleigh, Dom Canzone, along with Mitch Haniger. Haniger has really been the lone guy that has been able to move the line and get on base along with Josh Rojas. Both of these guys hitting north of a 295. Gotten a little bit of production out of Ty France as well, but what you really need for this team is the likes of Mitch Garver, J.P. Crawford, Jorge Polanco, Julio Rodriguez. These guys hitting a 220 or lower that you expect more from to be able to produce. And in the case of Mr. Rodriguez, he has yet to go deep thus far this season. I do think that that is going to be turning around. I do think that Coors is a great place to be able to do so, and I do think that Seattle is going to be able to get to Hudson and this bad bullpen, I think that you get a high scoring affair. So did set my total 11.6. Both of these starters are pitching contact guys, so I do like the over, and I do like the Mariners on the money line. Don't want to mess around with that run line. And we wrap things up with 9:29, 9:30 on the main board. The Toronto Blue Jays are on the road facing off against the San Diego Padres. Matt Waldron goes for the Padres, and you're going to be going with Mr. Yadiel Rodriguez on the bump for Toronto. Toronto is an underdog of anywhere between -105 to +102, and between -112 to -122. That number on San Diego, 8.5 is the total. Over and under between -105 to -115. And I did set the Padres at a -127. I'm going to be willing to roll with them on the money line. Matt Waldron actually coming off of a really nice start against the LA Dodgers, and I liked what I saw from him in spring training. First start of the season at home against the St. Louis Cardinals. Did not deliver a great performance, but past that, he's actually looked halfway decent. If you look between last year and this year at the big league level, 486 fielding independent, because he has been giving up quite a bit of hard contact, 1.6 home runs per 9 innings. And this year, the 3.8 walks per 9 innings is an issue, but his swing and miss stuff is way up. As a rookie, it was 7 punch outs per 9 innings. He's up to 10 punch outs per 9 innings as far this season. And for Yadiel Rodriguez, he comes over after being a little bit of, I believe, a Cuban defector. I know that he was born out there in Cuba, so that's something to keep in mind, as he was pitching a lot in like the Mexican Winter Leagues. He was pitching overseas, things like this. And I mean, he's got relatively good stuff. You saw that in his first start. Only went 3 2/3 innings. He's not necessarily built for giving you like 85 plus pitches or anything like that to this point, but he is someone that is able to throw quite a bit of gas. It's just a question of, can the Blue Jays have his back with regards to the bullpen, as they do now have back in the fold two of their main relievers, Eric Swanson, Jordan Romano, who are so good for them last season, but you can tell that they're a little bit rusty after beginning the season on the injured list. Chad Green is someone I do like in this bullpen as well, but Genesis Cabrera can be a little bit up and down as well. You've got a long guy in Trevor Richards that I don't necessarily have a lot of faith in as well, and the bigger thing that I don't have faith in for the Blue Jays is them turning it around with regards to the lineup. This lineup has been very rough, to say the least, this season, as Justin Turner has been the main guy to be able to get on base for you. Hitting north of a 300, just one home run, but has done a very rock-solid job on that front. But, I mean, Dalton Varsho, Vlad Guerrero Jr., George Springer, Bo Bichette, Alejandro Kerr, Kevin Kiermaier, all these guys are hitting at 227 or lower, and really other than Guerrero and Springer, none of these guys are giving you really much more than a 300 on base. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, I mean, he's been okay. He's giving you a 330 on base. Not going to provide a lot of power, but has found a way on base from time to time, and I actually like what David Schneider has brought to the table as well. But this Blue Jays team has been very rough on offense. I feel like we maybe overrated them in recent years. And for the San Diego Padres, even with having Juan Soto off the team, you've still got Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, pair of guys with a combined 9 home runs. Both of these guys doing a solid job of being able to reach base, especially Tatis with his 375 on base. Xander Bogaerts has been a miserable contract this far. He is hitting just a 200 with one home run this far this season. But Jake Cronenworth, after he was awful last year, he's been able to give you about a 250 average. He's providing 3 home runs. Awesome Kim, 3 bombs. Want him to hit a little bit better than like a 230, but he's been very good out there in the field as well. Jackson Merrill as a rookie has found a way on base with north of 400 on base, so I do like what they're able to provide. And for the Padres, it's a not great, not terrible bullpen situation with them. Johnny Brito is not good in this bullpen, but that said, Yuki Matsui, they bring over from the Nippon Baseball League, has been solid. Anya De Los Santos, Wani Peralta, these are guys that had sub-3.5 ERAs at other stops last season, and I do think that Matt Waldron comes in holds down the fort. I do think that for Rodriguez, though he might not lend a ton of length, I think that he's going to be relatively rock solid as well. I do think that the Blue Jays, getting back their injured pieces for the bullpen, going to be able to help out with this under as well, and one of the more pitcher-friendly ballparks out there in all baseball. So, semi-total at an 8.2. I like the under, and I like the Padres on the money line. Set them more around a -127, and that wraps things up for the Friday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Big thanks to Taylor McGregor over there at Watch Marquee, along with MLB Network. She joined me in the last segment. If you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is by Twitter /XTimeline at GDNRS41. Keep in mind, letters EM, maybe does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated from there. You're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review, and I'm coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season. That means I'm back with you for tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.